There we are. All right, we're gonna wait for Dr. Julia Dinka to join us. And today we're gonna talk about a very important topic, that it's happiness, self-destruction and happiness. There she is. Good connecting. Hola, doctora.
Hello.
¿Cómo estás?
Estoy bien, ¿cómo estás?
Muy bien, también. Perfecto.
Perfecto.
Very excited for the topics today.
Me too, actually. I think we all need to know happiness. But just give me a minute. This
light.
I still can't figure out my lighting. Why is this a problem?
We need our lights. If someone's listening, we need our rings. Yeah.
Does anyone know where we can get one? It's out of stock.
Out of stock, okay? Everywhere.
Can you imagine? Everyone is doing this in, you know, Instagram Live, so everyone needs it, or everyone's becoming famous. I don't really know, but you know. Well, so I feel like I do see a lot of people going live, though.
You know, yeah, it's happening a lot. Yeah, we have what they call like excess of information at the same time, which gives us more distraction.
Gives us more distraction. Like we need any more distraction, right?
Yeah, we are good on that. Yeah.
So you can tell me if the light is not good. So far, it's all right.
I think it's okay. Good, yeah. You look famous.
That's the most important thing. Oh, geez.
So,
we need our lights.
There's some people already. We do need our lights. Welcome, everyone, to Go Beyond episode number 15. We're here with Dr. Julia Dinka. We're going to talk about happiness and self-destructions, which I think it's a necessary topic for everyone. So thank you so much, Dr. Dinka, for joining us one more time. She's a licensed psychologist living in Kuwait. I was going to say in Spanish. No.
Psicología.
Sí.
That's right.
So we have some people already.
Clinical psychologist.
It's just such an interesting topic, Doc, because I just was reading a little bit more about it, and I found a study that says that 46.9% of the time that we are awake, we are distracted.
Mm.
That's like almost 0.5% of the time. And I was like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Because I'm all about practicing the present moment. And like I was also with Coach Nafas in the Center Nafas. So she was talking about present moment and breathing. And we also talk a lot about that. So we're just not present. So we need you.
Yeah, we're not present. And you always wonder, like, why do we need to be distracted so much? Or why do we allow this distraction to really affect us? And I think it has a lot to do with what are we looking for? And what are these distractions really serving a purpose? I mean, in my field, we always feel like distraction. People are adding more distraction because we are running away from something within ourselves. And so the more I'm distracted with my job, the more I have other responsibilities where I'm running from place to place, then the more I don't have to deal with the internal chaos or, you know, whatever I am that I'm feeling right now. So I feel like a lot of times people are probably doing the same thing. There's some internal chaos, something they don't want to accept about themselves, some sort of pain, sadness, whatever. And I think the best way to do it is just, you know, distract yourself, be on social media. You're distracted by the media in general and social media, and we get distracted by people around us and commitment and you know, our senses. We're every day our senses are they get into the, you know, so whatever picture I see, whatever I hear, whatever I smell, whatever I taste daily, this is daily that I am being distracted, and my senses are the first thing that catches these distraction. And then we wonder what is happening, and you know, well, you wonder. And I was like thinking about happiness, it's like, you know, anyone is ever going to reach happiness if we're really distracted, or are we distracted ourselves because we're distracting because we think we're not happy.
But is happiness the goal? That's the question,
and,
right?
And happiness should not be the goal because, you know,
it's the consequence.
It's not an end to a means, right? Everyone thinks that, you know, my goal is to be happy, and once I'm happy, I'm done. And actually, it should not be a goal, because if it is your goal, you're going to be more anxious, because my goal is to be happy, and therefore we get distracted, and we never will be anxious. We're not going to be happy because we're trying to be happy.
I think is to maintain happiness, because we go through states of happiness and then we lose it. So it's about learning the skills to maintain it, no? Because they always say like, oh, happiness, and I said it as well, so I throw myself. Happiness is like a positive thinking, you know, like happiness is a decision. Okay, but happiness is strain at the same time. It's like the gym of happiness. There's the skills, you know, there's therapists like you and psychologists that like gives us a lot of like skills to work on ourselves. I think they should
But I think that we should start understanding what is happiness, right?
Yeah.
So I think people have, you know, don't really have an understanding of what happiness is, or maybe they think their happiness is somewhere out there. And I think happiness is really enjoying the moment. So to be happy, it means that you can't be in the past and you can't be in the future. You have to be in the moment. And happiness is not something like, you know, most people are like waiting for some aha moment, like, wow, you know, this is what's going to make me happy. But so if I had a lot of money, or if I become very successful or famous, that's going to bring me happiness. But we all know that there's a lot of people who have money, who are famous, who have everything, and they're not happy. And the reason that they're not happy is because they had a goal, they had a drive, and that drive made them happy. You know, it's not that they got this thing, because once they got to become famous, once they had all the money, and now what?
Yeah.
Right? So, and because now what, that's what causes them, you know. Because if money really made people happy, if you read a lot about these individuals who have money and who are famous and who have everything we think we want, you really realize that they are not happy, and actually they're worse now than they were when they didn't have all this. And one of the things is because now there's nothing to what are you going to work for now? You've already famous. You already have money. You already got the thing, the dream house. You got this. And so there's nothing to work on. So happiness is a goal that we set for ourselves. It's a drive that constantly makes it. So it's the operation itself that brings us happiness. It's not
the end goal.
Yes, yes.
It's the path, yeah.
And also happiness is not, I mean, you know, a lot of times people are thinking of happiness in the future, like if I become this, if I do this. And to be honest, that's the problem. The problem is that people are living in the present, I mean, in the past, or they're living in the past or in the future. So as long as you're not living in the past and you're not thinking of the future, you probably are one of the lucky ones to be, that you are happy if you are enjoying the moment. So, and the criteria doesn't have to be, you know, I have to be famous, I have to do this. It could be that whatever goal I'm setting for myself now. And so that's what should be your criteria, not, you know, I'm in the future, I'm going to be like this. And although these goals are nice, they're a drive, but they're not the, you know, you shouldn't think that once I'm a millionaire, I'm going to be happy. Once I get this body, you know, and I lose this weight, I'm going to be happy. Because you also know people, and I'm sure in your line of work, the people did get that body, they did get that weight, and they are shocked. They're not happy still, right?
Well, I had to work on my happiness. But I really thought that whenever I reach that body, or I become a pro, or I was going to be extremely happy, which I did. It was like a point. And I had the peak of happiness, and then it come down all the way. So, and it was a lot of emotional. Because when you're growing, especially from the outside and seeking things, then it's not the same as growing happiness from the inside. But I think it's where all my insight and seek for personal development also go. got stronger and to understand psychology and how we function. Because mm-hmm. it's not when I lose the weight and when I do the things, it's when I live the present moment, I appreciate what I have, I feel good with myself. It's adding new skills. It's like a gym. I realize, like, I go for the gym for my body and I have my brain gym as well. It's the happiness gym and the personal development gym, and it must work together.
And that's what's so exciting is that, you know, that I've got these things that I'm working on now, and that's where my happiness is. So people need to, like, reshape and rethink about it. They're like, okay, so it's not really what's going to happen to me in the future. And it's not what, you know, what happened to me. So a lot of times people, like I said, they'll get the body that they want and they've lost the weight and they have the shape that they need. And now they're disappointed because they thought, so they had an expectation that when I get this, I'm going to be the happiest person in the world. And then when they get there, they're not the happiest person because now they don't have, you know, have anything to do. And so the idea is that what they really missed is that the enjoyment of creating that body or enjoyment in creating that path for being famous or the path for example, being able to, like, you know, create the career that's going to give me that satisfaction is those. So I wish more people would spend more time into enjoying what they're doing because they have to understand that when you get the result, that's not the happiness. It's the process that's the happiness.
Yeah, and when it comes to the weight, though, I think it depends a lot where the desire is created from. You know, cause sometimes I get clients that they want to lose weight because they don't feel good with themselves. They're mostly the ones that are not going to succeed on the diet because the desire is created from a place of a currency, you know, of lack of pure intention. Then I have the clients that come, like, I want to change my lifestyle. I already realize I can keep going this way. And those are the ones who just, like, go. And they have very good results. They're happy in the path. And whenever they achieve it, they're the ones that are going to be willing for more. So it's where it's coming from. But we get distracted.
Yeah, and we get distracted because, you know, if the goal for me is to reach this weight, right? So I'm not really enjoying the process or the understanding that I am, you know, trying to shape my body, that this is a lifestyle. So if more people that are, like, training, for example, if they understand this is the lifestyle and when I work out, this is my happiness, then those people are doing well. But if someone is
not now without a gym.
Yeah, not now without, or even working out, for example, or doing something now. I mean, whatever.
But it's
goals
like going
that they're
to pray in the mosque and pray in your house. You know,
yeah,
I like going to
So, and that's a good point. Like, you know, I'm happy when I'm praying in the mosque. Like, so that missing the point of the idea of, like, that spirituality that you're sharing that you could share anywhere. Because in these days we have to accommodate. Does that mean that because you're not praying, you know, in the place that you're supposed to be praying, does that mean you can't be happy, or is it the process of praying that brings me happiness?
And
so people need to differentiate between, you know, it is for me, it is the process. It's the process of living the moment, you know, being spiritual, thinking about, you know, the things that I'm doing now. But this is the reason why distraction brings you unhappiness, right? Because when you're distracted, then you can't be mindful. Mm-hmm. And you cannot live in the moment. And so a lot of times, we let these distractions take over us because we are assuming that this distraction, in this distraction, I'm going to find happiness.
Yeah.
And that's not true. Because in this distraction, you might find some false happiness, but it's not a true happiness. It's not what you ultimately want to achieve.
Like
I was saying earlier, I think we get distracted because it takes away from us to look inside of us, because there are a lot of people that don't like who they are and they hate themselves and they have negative feelings about themselves. And so distraction You know, you see these people like busybody, what we call them in English, like, you know, it's like they're like the butterfly that goes from one flower to the other flower to the other flower to the other flower. They're constantly, this butterfly is distracted, right? Or even a bumblebee does it. So bumblebee is distracted because she's looking for her mate, right? And once she gets her mate, then that's it. Then again, another plant, another flower, and you see people like that. And you're wondering, I mean, this is a question I ask my clients all the time. Okay, what are you running away from? What exactly is it that is, you know, you need to distract yourself? Because it's a need. People know that they're being distracted. Sometimes maybe they don't, but most of the time they know they're being distracted. So the question is, why do you need to be this distracted? What is it about you that you don't want to face? You know, there might be some changes that they have to make and they haven't really faced it. I mean, with weight, for example, people will get distracted from going, working out, changing their meals, their nutrition, because they're scared. And because they're scared and they don't know that they might achieve this, they might not, it's hard work. So they don't want to really face themselves. And so I'll get distracted and then I'll blame it on I'm unhappy with my life. So that, you know, so if you're distracted, you're not going to, because the person doesn't want to face that they don't have the willpower to make changes, or they don't want to face a lot of, you know, old wounds that they've had. And so they're worried that if I face it, like I'll get clients, for example, they don't want to go there. You know, let's say I had one client, like her father had died and I don't feel like she's really processed it. And then I said, well, you know, we need to start talking about that. And she's like, no, I don't want to go there. So I'd rather distract myself by this other talk that you're talking about. Let's, you know, blame it on other external resources when really the main pain is to be able to grieve her father's death and accept that, you know, he's gone. And so they don't want to go there. So if you don't want to go there with your, you know, the grief that you have, how are you ever going to be able to reach a sense of peace, yeah, a sense of inner peace? That inner peace will never happen because there are going to be a lot of triggers that she doesn't know, unconscious triggers, right? And these unconscious triggers will come, will make her feel sad, and she doesn't want to go there. She'll distract herself with eating, distract herself with, you know, her friends, or with drinking or drugs or whatever it is. So we'll go around like this and we'll live like this and we'll continue to not want to challenge ourselves that these distractions are a distraction. They're not going to give you the inner peace. And no matter how much you try to pretend that you have inner peace, you can't when you have things that are unresolved. Closure is important, to be honest. Yeah. And for people that don't want to have closure, they will distract themselves oftentimes and all the time.
That's why it decreases happiness by the end, getting distracted.
Of course. So it decreases happiness because you're distracted. You know you didn't achieve all the things you've set up to achieve. And ultimately, you know, what's going to happen? Then you are unhappy again. And again, we go back. And you know what, people distract themselves because they think happiness is outside. So I distract myself with social media, see what other people are doing. Maybe I can be like that, you know, or I can distract myself with my friends and see if maybe I could be like that. We're always attaching ourselves to these distractions because we assume these distractions are where our happiness is. When happiness is so simple that really people don't get it. You know, there is not a big mathematical process. Or when people come to me and say, Doc, I just want to be happy, can you help me be happy? Like somehow it's like in this like iCloud, and yeah, sure, you know, I'll bring it down for you, right? And then when you say to them, when you simplify it and say, well, you know, it's the process, it's now, it's this, it's hard for them to imagine, because we're taught, you know, we're always taught that happiness is when you have money, when you have career, when you have the love of your life. You know, we're given these like messages as kids when we watch Disney shows and the princess always finds her love and she's living happily ever after. Yeah. You see? So, you know, we get this picture that it's supposed to be, you know, I have to find my prince and I have to have, I live in a castle. And it's not that at all. At all, it's not that. There are people that don't even have that. And they're very content. They're tranquil. They have inner peace. And they don't have any of this. They might not even have a career and don't even have money. And they live paycheck to paycheck.
But they live the present moment.
Exactly. And they're happy. You know, they're happy when they're watching that movie. They're happy when they you know, do their daily activity. They're happy when they take their walk. And they're just living the moment. And people can't live in the moment if you're too busy being distracted. And so, you know, people have to really, I don't know, Patricia, I think in my line of business, it's like we see so many people are not honest with themselves.
Same.
And, you know, they might not be honest with themselves for a lot of reason. And you know, I'm not here to judge that. But I think honesty with yourself might bring you some happiness, to be honest. And
yeah,
maybe you should try it.
Who you surround yourself with at the same time. Because I think once you create a character, like I was talking with this last week with someone, like she created a character of herself that now she can't be herself. Because she never showed her real self before. I told her, like, oh my God, you're never going to be happy then. Because you always have to be pretending to be someone else. And you're not that person anymore. You force it to fit into that spot. Why do you want to be into that spot? Because obviously, it's all the areas of your life are suffering. Mm-hmm. So why are you paying such a high price? And why do you really want to be there? Because if you have a good reason, then it's good if you're conscious. Maybe for whatever reason, you want to fit there, but... Yeah, I see it a lot, unfortunately. And it's, I think it's something we all need to work on every day. As I say, I think it's a skill and must be practiced. Yeah, I had a funny question for you. Like, what will be the equivalent for like 20 squats, you know, in psychology? So what will be the equivalent action in psychology to me 20 squats or a smoothie, you know? Because I can go and do that, but how can I create happiness? It, like, of course, like saying, having gratitude and knowing the things that make you gratitude.
I mean, I think the idea is that people need to, you know, so for you, like 20 squat, maybe it will bring you that satisfaction or it gives you that, you know, that hormonal boost in a way, right? I think for psychology is that, you know, I know when someone is doing good, that when they are honest with themselves, when their true self, you know, they're living their true self, that they're not hiding the idea of, you know, I have to be like this because this is what the society. I mean, you could do that, and a lot of people are actually doing that. But the idea is that then it's like the person you're talking about. Do you know how many people I see struggling with their true self and false self? And that's what we call that. And so they've got this false self that everyone else knows and that they've become very familiar with. But then they've got this true self that hardly ever comes out. And so there's a contradiction. There's a dissonance in a way, you know, because they're not living true to their values and they're not living true to themselves in the name of I can't, my society, you know, I have to be the way I have to be. So the idea is that, and like I said, maybe that's true and I'm not denying that, but I think we need to find a way where we can bring the two selves more congruent and have this gap in between, because that gap is what creates anxiety and fear. So if I am pretending to be this other person, because that's what the society and my family needs, and I'm not honest with myself. And the only time I recognize this is when I'm by myself. And the idea is that then, of course, there's going to be a turmoil, you know, because you realize, and you know, and the more you do it, the more you start to feel like you're a hypocrite. And that's where self-hate comes from, right? Because you know you're a hypocrite. You know that you're doing things. And yes, justifying it because I have to, doc. You know, I don't have another choice. It's true, but that justification is not going to work for too long. I can tell you that. They don't work for too long because after a while, you know, we can't justify hypocrisy. And then even if we don't change, we hate ourselves. I mean, I don't know about you, but I definitely will hate myself if I know I'm a hypocrite. I mean, people might not know I'm a hypocrite, but at the end of the day, I have to be with myself. I have to sleep. I have to live with myself. And I know I'm a hypocrite. And that's what brought people a lot of unhappiness. Mm-mm. The unhappiness of this, you know, they're not honest with themselves. And this is where, like, self-injury comes from, self-hate. A lot of these mental illnesses comes from, it's because there's no congruency between, you know, who I am and who I want to be. So, and the idea is that, and then, you know, people are scared because they truly think that they're true self. For example, I had an example. There was a girl that wanted to take her hijab off, right? I mean, of course, that is a personal decision and people can make whatever decision, and I'm not there to really to help. But it's not even the scarf idea. The idea is that her feeling that this is not me, right? Mm-hmm. I wore it when I was young. I made that decision myself, not even my family. And now I feel like it's not me. So forget about the idea that can she take it off or not right now. That's not even the point. The point is that can you imagine where she imagines herself without the hijab, for example, and living with the hijab every day, what turmoil is causing her? There's a contradiction. Now, you know, there are two choices when we have these dissonance, right? We either accept it and realize it was our decision and be able to accept it and try to find the positive thing about it. Or we can walk around saying, I hate hijab, but I'm wearing one. Now, do you see the contradiction? Within yourself, forget about even what will happen in public. That's not even that important. The idea is that I hate hijab, but I am covered. I hate this, but I'm like this. You know, I hate lying, but I've been living a lie.
That's a very difficult one because society makes it difficult. If you were free to decide if you want to wear or not according to how you're feeling, but the fact that it's a standardized, like a one lifetime decision, seems like it has to be a very hard decision, honestly.
And it is. And so you're going to have to decide, you know, I mean, the idea is that this is what unhappiness is about. It's not that she has to take it off or not. That's not even the point, to be honest, in my mind or even in hers. It's the idea of, like, why would you want to fight an idea on a regular basis and saying this thing I don't like when you don't have any actions, like you don't have a plan? What would be the plan? What's the worst thing that can happen, for example? You know, if you do this, what will happen? Just having that dialogue, it frees you as a person. You feel free. Just having an opportunity to have a dialogue and say, yes, I made that decision. I was young. Yes, I should have been, you know, thinking about it, but whatever. But what good does it do you to be able to sit here and say, you know, I'll be happy if I take it off? And the idea is that I've worked with people that have taken it off. They still weren't happy. Because that's not the point. The point is the contradiction that we bring into ourselves that causes us. Actually, she was much more happier when she was in the process of what should I do? Let me talk to my mom about it. She'll be a little bit more understanding, or my dad. And there have been girls that have taken their hijab off, and the family has been understanding. But the idea is that that process and that preparation, a mind preparation of what should you do now, made it more sense to me and to her than it is the idea itself. Because even when you take it, there are other consequences. There are going to be family members are not going to be happy. There are friends that are not going to stay friends with you. There are certain decisions that we take, regardless if we're living in this country or another country, that we're going to lose friends over. And we're going to lose, you know, family members over, because it's a decision that might contradict their values. You know, so the idea is that it's the understanding that when you are living in this hypocrisy, when you're distracting yourself with all these things because you don't want to deal with yourself that you're a hypocrite, that's where unhappiness happens. And, you know, for me, like, the more I am distracted, the more I'm not dealing with how I am a hypocrite or that I'm living this dual life, and the more I hate myself. And so the cycle continues on a daily basis.
I think it comes a lot of issue with identity.
Yeah,
like not having a clear identity of who we are and what we want. And maybe like I found through experience, like I used to have different identities for things that I have. Like I have Patricia works here, Patricia as a partner. And then I find out doing an exercise that I had different definitions for all of them. And I was like, and in the exercise, you realize like, hold on, it's the same person. So you should be the same. You should feel or get the same things in every, in each area of your life. So there's a contradiction. Therefore, is if you're single or you're married or you are with a partner, you're the same person. And you should expect to have the same things. So I find very interesting to work on the identity by itself, because we need to be clear what we want for ourselves from inside, so we can expect the others at the same time. So it's the same for the girl with the hijab. It's like, what do you feel and what do you want? Whatever is in the outside, it has to match whatever is inside.
Right. And the idea is that I say, I always use an example in my class. My students laugh. It's like you're going to buy, you know, a Lamborghini. You come home with a Nissan. Right. So okay. So I went to shop for a luxury car, and I came back with an economical car. So now I had this idea. I made this idea. Right. How am I going to live with my decision? Well, you know, I can sit every day and complain that I don't have enough money. I'm not the type of person that can afford a Lamborghini. And every time I see someone that has money, I feel sorry for myself and should have been me. I'm the one that deserves that. I can go on and on doing that. Or I can go ahead and accept the decision that I made by understanding that this is my decision. This was made with a lot of economical, you know, ways, that there are a lot of positiveness in that decision. And ultimately, whatever car you're going to drive doesn't really create happiness. It's the decision that you made for the purchase that you made that was sensible. But you'll get people constantly, I should have had that house, I should have done that, I should have, you know, why is it that I don't have this money? Why are people becoming famous and they don't have anything and I'm a hard worker? Why does this colleague get promoted and I've been working so much and I don't get promoted? Now, regardless if these things were valid, how good does it do me? What does it do to my happiness, for example? It doesn't do anything. It brings me down. It makes me hate myself or hate other people. And it constantly makes me live in this, like I said, this dissonance. I wanted to drive a Lamborghini. I'm driving.
It's the poor mind, though. Like, because if someone sees someone improving a job at the work, and they say, "Oh, why is he getting promoted and not me?" You're seeing it from a lack, from something you don't have. And the other way, the people that see that promotion and say, "Oh, I'm very happy for that person. I'm going to work hard as well to get there." They're going to see him from a place of abundance. So I think you get what you have. I think the universe on that is quite, the thing is you have to create the good things inside and be able to clean all the other bad thoughts or, you know, as you said, it depends where you, how you grow and everything, but you can learn and change a lot of things.
Right. But the idea is that it's easier, you know, for me to face myself. If I say it's easier because, you know, again, because that's a distraction, see? I mean, we're talking about distraction. Yeah. Distraction doesn't have to be only social media. I'm distracting myself from really looking into myself and seeing why I didn't get that promotion by trying to feel sorry for myself, distract myself by saying, well, I'm a great worker. You know, he's a terrible worker. Oh, he must know someone, wasta. You know, granted, there might be truth to that. There probably some truth to that. But what I'm saying is that these are distractions. Okay, so you didn't get the promotion. That person got the promotion. What can you do? You know, instead of like people really facing themselves and being honest with themselves and saying, yeah, okay, I'm upset. I thought I was going to get the promotion. Yes, I have been working very hard and maybe I should have a conversation with my manager. Like being proactive instead of, you know, not congratulating this person because they got it because we know they got it because they know someone. granted, that might be possible, that might be truth, it happens. But I don't see how, I don't see how that's helping me, because it's only creating more distraction, and these distractions are making me more unhappy. And this is what people really need to face. The idea, okay, yes, you're right. You have been working harder. I mean, it's like, I would rather get distracted, seriously, by people like, amaze me. That's why I'm in this field. They would rather get distracted by victimizing themselves.
Yeah.
The world has done me something wrong. And as of like, the world is obligated to give you something back. The world is not obligated to give you anything back. You know, we can change many things, and we have to accept whatever decision it is. But it's to hold yourself accountable. It means that you really have to stop being distracted and really being honest with yourself. And I think the majority of people are not ready for that. The majority of people are not ready to really, you know, be honest. They want to be able to live in this, you know, way of saying, you know, that it's always an external factor. Well, if I had that promotion, I'd be happy. Well, like, guess what? I know a lot of people got the promotion, and their happiness only lasted the first paycheck, when they could see the difference, and that's it. So it is impossible to think that, you know, these are the things that is going to bring me happiness, because we know people that have these things and are not really happy. But it's, exactly, you know, the
else.
TV, the media. I mean, even our kids, like, you know, I'm going to be famous, I'm going to be this. You know, somehow they are like already being computerized, programmed into like, that is going to bring you happiness. And I constantly talk to my kids like, okay, it's nice that you have dreams, you want to be famous, but you know, that's like that's not where happiness, as if like, I'm going to put my life on stop. I mean, he's 15 and he's not going to be happy until he's like 25, where he has this big house. Okay, so in the meantime, we need to really be able to enjoy what we're doing now. And if it happens, it happens. I'll enjoy it then either. Maybe I'll retire early.
Yes.
If he's like present rich.
You will keep working. You love it. Somehow.
You
keep teaching or more famous. Yeah, just differently. Once you have passion for something, it's not money that can stop it. Maybe you should go more worldwide, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. It's,
we were
I
also
know.
Talking about short-term and long-term happiness. So how what's the difference? Like short-term, I let you go, though. Like, I get a candy and it's short term, long term, I work for something. So how can we work more in the long term happiness?
And I think long term happiness has to be goals, right? So whatever it is, the goal, for example, I'm sure in your field and many people, like, you know, their goal is to be able to lose this much weight, right?
Yeah.
The short term is usually, I mean, I don't know, you know, how you do it. It, but the short term is like trying to think how, what you can do this week,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the long term would be when you achieve that, if you're going to lose 20. I don't know why I'm cutting off. But so the idea is that if you have this week, but then the long term goal would be like the 20 kilos or whatever. I mean, for us, in my field, it's like, okay, so the ultimate goal is someone wants to, you know, make a decision about career, right? They want to move their career. So that's the long term, is that I want to be, one person, I should remember this week, but that long term goal is to be a lead. To be a lead in this, like a manager lead or whatever in the season, whatever. So that's a long-term goal. So what can we do to get that? I mean, I don't know anything about it. What qualification programmer? I need to get these programs. Okay, that's good. So we can talk about like, what can we add to your to your CV. What kind of tasks are you doing now? You can include in your CV to be able to get to that, like, program lead or whatever, team leader. I don't know what they call it. All right. What is it exactly? You know, so I need to do these tasks. I need to do this. So first we make a list of all the things she needs to get to this ultimate goal. And so the idea is that she's happy to do all these little tasks, and then we can get to that. So short term, actually, our lead to becoming happy for the longer term. And it's whatever it is that we want. Like, some people want to go back to school, or some people want to get a master's, for example, since I work with a lot of students, right? And so the short-term goals is like, okay, you want to get to that master program. What do you need? Like, you know, do you need to volunteer at a place? Do you need, like, hours that you need to work in a certain thing? You need to work on, you know, getting a recommendation. You need experience. All of these little steps are very important in order for me to get to a master's program, for example. Or so these are the short-term goals that really gets built on to the long-term goals. And that's what we really need to be able to hone in. And actually, to me, to be honest, to me, is more important the short-term goals, because these are just the building stone for the longer term.
Yeah.
And this is where, like, and this is what I was saying earlier, is that this is where happiness happens, right?
Yeah.
I'm so happy that because remember, when they get to that goal, if we don't have another goal, and if they think this is happiness, they're going to be disappointed. So we need to be able to, you know, help them understand that that is not, that's a goal to achieve for work or for yourself, but it's not happiness. Like, you know,
we
people
have some
need
questions
to,
now. About how to keep motivated for achieving the short and long term, I guess, as well. So how can they keep themselves motivated to achieve
what
happiness is the state, as we say, but maybe to follow their goals.
Well, the thing is that, you know, if I mean, motivation is an internal, it's an internal thing that I have to work on every day. And I have to see the long term goal. Like, I always tell people, look, you gotta dream it, breathe it, feel it, see it.
Own it.
Yes. Like, so the long-term goal, for example, when people are want to get... So if people are losing motivation, I'm questioning how much do you really want this? You know? So because for me is that motivation is not something you're going to take in a candy or go buy it at the baqala. It's a motivation because I love myself and I want this goal to happen. It's a drive, and the drive has to come in from within you because you believe in yourself and you believe in your goals. So if I, you know, if my goal was to lose 10 kilo, for example, I have to be able to see and imagine myself being that, you know, 10 kilo thin. And you know, I'm sure in your line of work, you see it. There are people that come in and the first day and they're like, you know, I want to work out. I want to do this and I want to do that. I think that they're not ready for change. And then, you know, you see them the first week, they're motivated. I mean, that was me. I'd get all these memberships and all these, like, health club. I'm motivated the first week. And then I get distracted by my jobs. All the jobs I do, I started realizing, oh, I can't go to this class. It's too late. Or I can't make it because my job, taking on tasks
take it as a job, though.
Huh?
You need to take it as a job, though. I do it, I don't do it. It's the job. I think sometimes it's not, I don't have the motivation. It's just get up and do it.
No. I have to prioritize me.
Exactly. Yeah.
See, exactly. When people don't prioritize me, if I know that I'm doing this because for me, I bet there's more. Yeah. I mean, if you ask people, and we can ask our viewers, how many people are motivated to make someone else happy? I bet 90% of the people will say me. We don't have a problem being motivated when it comes to achieving someone else's goal. When someone asks us for things, when someone else wants to do things, we're motivated. It's not lack of motivation. It's realizing that I'm going to use this energy, as I always talk about in this program about energy. And this energy is me. This is for me. Like I said, when you breathe it and see it and feel it and realize it and dream it. It's the same thing as, like, how are these people become so famous and they become, you know, they develop a company or their company is because they had a dream and they never lost a sight of that dream. It's not about the money. They had a dream that they wanted to create something. These entrepreneurs, how are they so successful? You know, their dream, no one distracted them from their dream. They never used distractions. Their dream, it was always in the back of their mind. They never got distracted. They gave themselves a couple of days a week that they were going to work on this. They put their phone on silent. They didn't respond every time there was a B, where we have to look at it, because this was, they were creating a dream. And we can't create a dream and then I get distracted by how many messages, I have 50 million thing going on, so many tabs on my computer opened.
Yeah.
Then it's not a dream. That's not a dream and it's never going to happen. So when people think that you have to inject them with motivation, it's very simple. It's being able to realize this is for me. You know, we're all motivated when our boss asks us to do a task, even though we don't have the time to do it. We don't say no. Right? What motivates us then? I just always want to know. We were always motivated when a family member wants us to do certain things, or when we run around and exhaust ourselves because our friends are taking all our energy. We're motivated then. But I don't understand, why are we lacking this sense of motivation when it comes to me? And I go back to my point. Because when people don't love themselves enough, when they have a lot of pain and hurt, and they don't want to face it, they're not going to be motivated when it comes to self-task. Because, you know, when my boss asks me to do something, I'm motivated. Do you know why? Because that's another extra distraction that takes me away from really looking into myself. Yeah, why not?
We have a good question.
So, yes.
Doesn't these distractions can be considered selfishness for people around us?
Selfishness. I think
instead of distractions, do you mean like these actions for ourselves? So avoiding the distractions?
Does these distractions can be considered selfishness?
Like if we ignore the distractions, because sometimes it's about people around us.
So, I mean, for example, distractions from family and stuff. Well, no, it's not selfishness in my mind. I'm not saying that we, again, it's not black and white. You know, it's not like I'm not going to take care of my elderly parent because I'm so indulged in my own, you know, self and trying to improve myself. But I also need to give myself, you know, specific days that are my days that no one else is going to distract me from my task. Or my exercise, you know, I told you so many times, even on this show, I've told you that, you know, before I get distracted, I didn't want to go to the gym because it was not a priority. But once I decided this is part of life, I bet no one distracts me. You know, when I have, this is the time I work out. You know, it's so funny because back in the days, I used to think, no, I got to do this because there's no other time. I swear, since I've said to myself, this is my workout hour, I'm still able to do everything and still was able to work out. While before my mind was like, no, I don't have time because I got to do this and this. I still do all those things.
Yeah.
And I was able to manage my time. But it's the idea is that I prioritized me. And how many people are prioritizing themselves? Not too many. You know? And so the distraction are not selfishness. They're distraction from our own internal chaos.
The happier we are, the happier we can make the others by the end. If you're not happy, you can't make others happy. You can't give from a place that you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. That's why, for me, it's just working on yourself and investing on yourself when it comes to these things. It's just the better thing you can do to improve everybody around you. So it's like a love-giving thing. Because the better you are, the more happy they see you, the more happy they're going to be. If not, they're not your friends. Definitely.
And you know, people, to be honest, people do appreciate. I mean, you know, I respect people that say, no, this is not my work time, you know, or no, I don't do anything after 9. Or, you know, this is morning is my time where I have a person that in the morning, there's routine, meditate, you know, gets her breakfast, takes a shower, and then her day starts. And no one is going to distract her from that. And is that selfish? No. I actually respect that. I wish I could be able to be more disciplined like that and say, no, this is my time, especially when you have kids, right? But the idea is that I don't see it as selfish. Actually, I really respect. I mean, you ask someone to meet with you and then they're like, no, these times don't work for me. And these times, like, I like people with a set limit. It shows me how much these individuals have prioritized themselves.
Yeah.
So I don't see it as being selfish.
I see self-love. When I see someone like that, I see self-love.
And because they've prioritized themselves, and I respect that. And I think, you know, a lot of us need to be more of that. I mean, and I'm not saying, like, you know, the day has so many hours. How about if we can just, like, decide that these hours are for me? I mean, you know, people that are really have a lot of duties and they worry and they don't think that they can. Okay, no problem. This is my time, you know. Friday from 4 to 6 is my time. I don't answer my call. I mean, I have a friend who shuts off the phone or doesn't answer it from 2 to 5 or 2 to 6. And sometimes I say to him, really? Why? What about if you get a call? What about this? He's like, there's nothing that can be that emergency. I'm not a surgeon. You know, I'm not needed in emergency room. That's like death matter. It's like everything else I can answer afterward. And it's like, you know, this is what the way we teach our kids. It's like, I don't have to be walking around with my phone. Our phone is the biggest distractor.
Yeah.
And do we really need to answer everyone? And do we really need to answer every message and every email? Do we really need to have our emails on our phone all the time? I mean, you know, do we? I mean, if you miss it, there are people that worry about missing something.
Yeah.
Again, in my mind as a psychologist, okay, so what are you distracting yourself from, your inner self? You can't stay with yourself 2 hours in peace. There's something wrong. Like some people say to me, I hate quietness. I don't like being by myself. You know, and there are a lot of people that don't like, they always like to be with other people. Again, busy body, we call them, the butterfly, the bumblebee, whatever. You have to wonder why.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone saying to use the Nokia. I just remember the big phone. How was life when that existed before WhatsApp and the SMS that you have to crush your mind to put everything in a text. So drink everything.
Yeah, exactly. But what did we do when we didn't have all this communication? We called
people. I was too young.
Well, I wasn't. But, you know,
you talk more in person, right?
Yeah, of course. We talk more in person. And I do know what I miss. I miss writing directions down. I used to write everything down. Yeah. Take a right and go left.
And drawing, yeah.
Yes.
And now it's waste.
Of course. And then, you know, when you want to talk to someone or you want to, you know, you always like either call them or go by their house to tell them a message if they're close by. It's just, I mean, although I think there's nothing wrong with internet and there's nothing wrong with the, you know, this, all the phones and the accessibility that we have. I think that something's wrong with us, we humans. I mean, these are mechanisms that were created so that way we can communicate, and we are communicating and we're in touch with, I mean, look at you, you live here, your family's in Spain, you can still talk to them. That's the beauty of it. But, you know, all these internet accessibility never told us that you should have your phone with you 24/7, and that you should always be texting. It's us. There's something wrong with us as humans. It's nothing wrong with the ability to be able to have like easy ways of communicating and connecting to people we can't.
It's but if you don't know boundaries.
No, exactly. That's what I was going to say. If you don't know how to set limits, and if you feel like you got to be able to answer everyone all the time or be available all the time, then again, distractions, and these distractions are a sign that you are avoiding something within you. The hypocrisy, the turmoil, the true self, false self that we talked about, it has to be something.
That they people are, get worried if you don't reply, you know? Like, it happens
to me. They're not dying.
If I don't reply in 3 hours, oh, I'm worried you didn't reply. Well, I'm in quarantine, so I'm definitely in my house. Nothing can happen. I'm either sleeping or I'm working. I like to read in silence. And I usually had to even put my phones down. Because if I see the light on the screen, it's like my mind goes instantly to the phone. So I'm trained to see the light. Even if it's not my phone, if it's anybody's phone, I look at the line. Sometimes I feel bad because I don't like to look at other people's phone. But I don't know if it happens to you. It's this thing with the light. When I see the light, my eyes just go into it. It's scary.
It's true. I mean, but and in 3 hours, maybe it's too much because you know people are going to be worried about you. But, you know, having an hour of work and then saying to yourself, I need a break. Like, we all take breaks. And when we take a break, that's when I check my messages. And then having it put away or, you know, somehow we feel like we've lost our identity if our, you know, technology is not with us. Because, again, we lived in a fast-paced world. And I was so happy when, you know, not that I'm happy coronavirus have happened, but it maybe hasn't really done very well on our internet. I think our accessibility or usage has increased, but it has created an atmosphere where you can't be distracted from the things you were distracted from before. You know, it has given people an opportunity to stay home.
And create new distractions. Where they weren't staying home.
And create new distraction. But I'm sure that it wasn't as much as, I mean, for me, for example, working and going to different jobs and going to different commitments and doing this, I didn't have to do that. So I have been able, even though I work just as many hours, but it still has created atmosphere where I can, like, you know, reconnect in a different way and reconnect with myself in a different way, or be able to really enjoy that I could stay home and just watch TV. Like, you know, I never watched TV before. I didn't have time. And when I got home, I'm exhausted. And now I'm watching TV and I've watched a few movies and these things that, you know, they're not distraction for me because I never used to do them. And so I think, you know, I think it has taught us a lot, this 6 month or whatever month we've been in, or 3 months, because it has taught us that you can still survive without being distracted so much.
You know, I would not be able to reach a destination without waste, though. I don't know how to ask for directions anymore, I think. Honestly, this is one of the best things ever, and at the same time,
it's
the
true.
Worst.
And it's the true, thing actually.
Thanks to that, I think that it spoke to most strangers, because I would stop anywhere, you know, and they'd be like, hey, can you help me? Do you know how to get to this point?
Yeah,
I have
true.
To find this and turn. My God, it changed our life so much now that you mentioned.
But also, it's true, I mean,
it isolates us more because we don't meet the others for anything. We have everything in our phone. So why am I going to talk to this person that I don't know? So at the same time, the less interaction we have with others, I think the more unhappy we are, because we're social beings. So we need to try to interact anywhere. I mean, I talk a lot, so I don't have an issue with that.
Yeah.
I talk to everyone. I love talking to people because this is when you really get to know, you know, and create. Now we have 2 minutes left.
We have 2 minutes
left. Few tips of how to stay present in the moment, Doctora.
My tip is to really live the day. And I cannot emphasize it. When someone says to me, how about next week? I say to myself, I commit to next week, no problem. But I don't think about it. Even this show. Do you know I don't think about it the day before? Yes, we've talked about our questions and it's fine. And, you know, we've agreed on it. I stopped, really, really, I'm not kidding. I stopped thinking about anything that is beyond tomorrow. And people really need to exercise that. You have a big project due Saturday, and you know you need to do research, then you start Wednesday working on your research. But for me to worry about Saturday, I worry about it on Thursday. The moment we have to take a minute, sit in silence, and to really close our eyes, listen to that inner self, inner peace. I mean, if you're running away from yourself, you're never going to reach this inner peace. Inner peace means that I am tranquil and I've accepted who I am. So if there's hypocrisy, if there are so many roles you're playing and you're lying to yourself, if you feel pain and don't want to deal with your grief, then you can't reach inner peace. Inner peace has to be that I can sit with myself. And people should practice it. Sit with yourself, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, gradual, and see how you like it.
Let's inner try peace. And give us the feedback for the next session. I will see you in the next episode, Doctora. Thank you so much. Adios, hey, to everyone. Thanks for watching. Adios. 2, 1. Bye-bye.